Welcome to New Trade Media's shortcast series. My name is Jack Cortez and I'm the editor of RN. This week we're discussing how supplier response to the pandemic is impacting pricing and consumer confidence in independent shops. A couple of years back, I visited a London shop where price was make or break. They were cheaper than the multiples convenience formats around them on core lines, but their customers just wouldn't believe them. Taking a leaf out of the supermarket's own price battle playbook, they erected a board outside listing their prices against their competitors. It's the same challenge at the crux of price marking. It's a stamp of approval that leverages trust in the brand to create trust in the store's pricing. It's why many independent shop owners, despite resentment of the lower margins they often offer, still go for the price mark versions. However, there is another aspect. Over the years, the disparity between RRPs on price marked and non-price marked products has risen. Exactly 1 year ago this week, we compared price marked and non-price marked recommended retail prices at Booker, Bestway and Nicer across a basket of 80 top selling lines. The result? The retail price on the basket of non-price marked goods was between 14 and 47% higher depending on which wholesaler was used. So what happened in April when suppliers switched off price marking without adjusting the retail and wholesale prices of non-price marked lines? This disparity meant the cost of goods in the average independent shop skyrocketed at the exact moment fears of profiteering were at their highest, and customers noticed. On 23rd of April, ITV aired Supermarkets and Supply Chains, Keeping Britain Fed. It used EPOS data to show that the cost of some goods in independent shops had gone up by as much as 50% in the last month alone. However, it failed to mention that on all the goods it had singled out, the rise was due to suppliers removing on-pack 2-for-1 promotions, price marking, or it was the absence of wholesaler promotional cycles as previously agreed. For suppliers with convenience reps furloughed, working from home or in some cases even redeployed to help out in supermarkets, many had no idea what the impact the end of price marking was having on the ground. Several shop owners told me they had been visited by local trading standards officers following complaints from customers over the price rises related to the end of price marking. I spoke to one shop owner who had their reputation severely damaged after their shop was named and shamed on a local Facebook group. Others were verbally abused and many more refused to stock certain household lines over fears that their customers would blame them for the price increases. They would rather have empty shelves. The switch to non-price marked lines had another impact. Suppliers directed order volumes of non-price marked stock to convenience wholesalers based on historic order volumes of non-price marked stock. This didn't take into account data from the much more commonly ranged price marked versions that had been suspended. This meant not only were goods available to stores more expensive, they were also harder to come by. If the aim of removing price marks was to simplify production in order to keep shelves full, the evidence from the convenience channel shows this aim was not met, and in some cases, actually achieved the opposite. So what could have been done differently? The most important point for suppliers to learn from this is the importance of communicating changes in pricing and structure. Very few brands were open and upfront about their decision to switch off price marks, or to provide any advice to stores on what they should do about it. Suppliers abdicated their positions of market leadership when they stopped engaging with their customers about the state of the market. If brands had provided support or guidance explaining the removals of PMPs, the price differences, or even how to maintain a value proposition without them, the shop would have been able to reference this when communicating with angry customers. The fact that several shop owners told me they kept their invoices and till receipts to hand to show that their price increases weren't because of them, it was because of pressure through the supply chain, shows there was clear demand for this information. The other change could have been pricing. Non-PMP lines are priced higher to encourage stores to stock the PMP equivalents, so why were they not reduced when the PMP equivalents were unavailable? One of the reasons suppliers do not sell through non-PMP stock at the same price as PMP stock is that they do not trust independents to keep the price down unless it's written on the tin. But there are other methods of achieving the same adherence to RRPs without price marking. A great example is the tobacco industry. When plain packaging was introduced, it lost the ability to price mark its packs. However, schemes set up with Booker and Nicer show a way forward. If stores agree to sell at RRP, they receive a rebate upon providing the relevant EPOS data. The retailer gets a better margin, the supplier protects its brand value proposition and its rate of sale, and the wholesaler sells more. Everyone's a winner. The third point for brands to consider for the future is the uphill struggle you may face if price elasticity shows that even at a higher price, sales volumes have been maintained. The margin on non-price marked packs is higher, but the rate of sale is supposed to be lower. However, crisis purchasing will have affected the price elasticity on many lines, especially essential purchases and household goods. Over and over, a parable repeated in independent shops is that of the busy fool. Stores are already conscious of the hours and effort to maintain availability on quick sellers versus the cash margin they offer, and they will be using this mantra when deciding how to change their pricing strategies as PMPs return. This means if brands want retailers to revert to PMPs, brands will need to build a case from scratch about the importance of rate of sale in a more holistic sense. This means looking at growing baskets and retaining the shoppers they've won during lockdown. If you have any thoughts on the challenge of pricing in independent stores or want to share how you've been supporting the channel, please tweet me at Jack Cortez. And don't forget to follow the New Trade Media LinkedIn page to stay up to date on the latest industry insights and to be notified about future shortcast episodes. Thanks for listening.